Which is fine. I'm doing a thing with them, so all good, all good.
What is happening, everybody? Welcome back to Crime Theory with myself, Ron Swanson, and the one and only John Wedger. Sadly, a little bit late this evening, so I do apologize to everybody who has been waiting. Worth the wait, but please make sure you like, subscribe, help us share all this out. John's links are in the description, and of course, come and subscribe to me on Project Rook. John, how are you? Tell us all about your week. Spit it out for us. What's been happening?
Well, as like I've been saying on this show over the last couple of years, that whenever you look into the topic of the CP stuff, you'll never prove wrong. When you speak about the SRA stuff, you get attacked. But
we're less than a minute in, John. We're less than a minute in. Talk about something way more algorithmically friendly, and then circle back to that stuff.
Yeah, well, what's happened is, so coming to it, the stuff, the topic I talk about, and how it, the whole sort of process of it and how endemic it is, well, it's now become topical again. It never goes away, right? So the government are now saying, we've got to deal with this, we got to look into this. And a couple of the big national papers have said, well, there is this guy called John Wedger who's been talking about this for quite a while. He keeps cropping up on social media because the national press have never really made a big thing of me anyway. So the main crime editor for probably one of the biggest papers in the country saw some of my stuff and was like, I need to talk to this guy. So earlier on in the week, I spent the day with him and he was absolutely blown away. And he went, why has this never got out, what you've been saying? I said, because I don't know. The media, and the reason being this, right?
Yep.
Because I don't go on about a certain ethnic group with the GG gang.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a lot of people say that all of this child exploitation stuff, GG gangs, is all down to this one group. And that's not the case. And I've stood by it. But because it's not got that mass populist appeal, and the media don't want to, they want to pigeonhole it. And I'm not denying the existence of these PGG gang. Right? I'm not denying it at all. Right. I have to be careful what I say because
you're basically what you're saying, John, and you always have said, is it's a very small piece of a massive problem, right?
Yeah. Those doing it are as diverse as those using it, those covering it up, and those exploited by it. So, and it's historic. It's been going on for so long. Anyway, one national paper really, really sort of got interested in it. And then another national paper, even bigger than them, turned around and said, well, we've known John for a while. We should be doing it. So they jumped on and they've been sort of, two papers have been sort of
nice,
trying to get hold of me. And the guy who sort of organises the media stuff for me approached me and said, look, there's a current affairs program on national media TV. Want you to attend, so I could be on national TV next week or something as well.
That's our boy.
So it's gone absolutely crazy because what I've said is what has been happening. And in addition, I've been seeing our work retweeted on so many different other social media outlets. It's coming up all the time, you know, pinging up. Please listen to what this guy is saying. And of course, it's me and you.
It is indeed. It's exciting stuff. And, you know, it's great to see you doing so well, John. And especially when, I'll be honest, we've been very self-indulgent this series of Crime Theory. We've spoken quite a lot about what we've been doing. We've had some really good sort of stories with John Wedger evenings. But I mean, the first series we done really deep dived into so much, and it's exciting to see people starting to take notice of it all. The next couple of weeks, we'll see what happens with the Epstein stuff and what's trending. But I'm going to showcase some of the old cases that I've done, show John a little bit of the dark web, and see just how much fun that can be. Now, for the first time in a long time, I've actually got a working PC, which might not sound like a big deal, but it's a pretty big deal because running the things off a laptop's been, I mean, it's a good laptop, but now we're back at least on a PC. So there may be something going on after the Wedger stream tonight. You can stand by for further updates. Now, I am going to open up the Discord call-in, and I'll post a link to the server. If you'd like to come and pitch a question to myself or to John, you join the server, join the waiting area, and we'll pull you into the live show section. And we would very much like to hear from you guys. So I'm going to get in there now, and I'll get you guys a link. And hopefully this works. There we go. Now, John has disappeared. So, I'm assuming John will return in just a moment or two. Let me just move Discord. It's weird only having... hang on a second. It's... I did discover that I'd broken all my other monitors. So I'm on a single monitor, so you have to just bear with me.
Oh. Sorry about that. It's just internal issues I've got to deal with here. So,
that's right, brother.
Yeah, but if we go on about the what's happened with the Epstein thing, and it goes back to what happened. On this show, when I turned around and I said they will do with this Epstein list, P. Diddy, exactly what they've done with the independent inquiry in this country. We always look to America, right? I said this last week as this macrocosm and we're in a microcosm. My word, we are leaps and bounds ahead of them. They're just sensational and they're bigger, but they're cruder than us, right? Because what did theirs involve? Business and whatever. Ours, with Dolphin Square, with Elm Guesthouse, it involved the heart of our establishment and potentially our royal family, right? And there's pop stars and all that. So it's always a big thing, but we've had it. And if we go by the algorithm of what they do exactly the same as what they did in this country. They'll take ownership. Whether it be the police or a national inquiry with them, it's their FBI, which is all it is a national police force. It's nothing bigger and better than anything else. It's just a national jurisdiction all round police force. Whereas locally, there'll be local police forces with local jurisdiction, right? So when it crosses borders, it becomes national, therefore it becomes federal. And it's the same as our national crime squad and all that. It is no different. Our government did exactly the same. They took ownership of it, said we're going to get the heart of it, and they did F all. And it's exactly with this. Because it involved people in the establishment, they will do F all. And it's similar to the operation I was on in the Met Police. Because it involved people high up, I was told it'll be an embarrassment to the service, past, present, and future. Nothing will happen. It will be covered over.
Okay, so what you're talking about there, right, and just sort of correct me if I'm wrong, we're talking about the kept secret that everyone knows about, right? This high up elite level syndicate of individuals who are preparing children, right? And it seems to me that as long as they keep that part out of the media, right, as long as we keep that those charges swept under the carpet, like in the Diddy case, right, everything that possibly could have related to a organization or a PDF ring and individuals of, you know, politicians and above, those charges seem to get eradicated so that there's no further question on it. And when we look at the Epstein case, look what's gone on, right? We've had the poster child for the Epstein case and the man formerly known as Prince, Virginia Giuffre, unalived in some crazy conspiracy of self-unaliving, who now, you know, she can no longer testify against other or talk more about who would have been on that client list because she's not here anymore.
But what, why should it be any different? Why should it be any different to what we've had in the United Kingdom? You know, we've had it all the time with survivors that have come to bizarre. In the case I was in, the two main witnesses, the same thing happened to them, both found dead.
John, you got to remember, this is America, right? So they usually give us the courtesy of invading a country and starting a war.
Yeah, well,
if you need to answer that, mate, answer it. Well, do you not remember?
No, keep going, it's all right.
Like, they usually give us the courtesy of invading a country before they make something disappear, you know, like stains on a certain woman's dress or, you know, a folder full of client lists. You know, it's been their MO for years. Look at the shiny, distract, let's go grab some oil, double whammy. But this time, they have literally rewritten history in front of everyone's faces, John. There was three folders that people stood with outside the White House with the Trump's name on it. We have Department of Defense individuals who were being quoted as saying, well, Epstein's client list is on my desk and ready for review. This is madness. But how are we meant to believe anything?
Well, when Trump got in and then Elon Musk, getting involved in politics and saying about the GG gangs over here, and Trump saying that he's going to, drain the swamp. He's done nothing of the sort. And if he was going to drain the swamp, he would get nowhere near the front lawn of the White House. It's not going to happen. It's just a sales pitch. No one, and I'm telling you now, is ever going to expose this other than people like us, you know, or the survivors speaking out.
No, it's literally going to take, I often talk about how many of the big famous serial unalivers are caught because they've got a brake light out and a body in the trunk and the whole case is blown wide open because of dumb lunk. Sometime, at some point, someone's going to leave something on a train, John.
Right,
one of those folders is going to end up on a train, and that's the only hope we have.
There were two police officers, right, who were the protection officers for Ted Heath. They caught him on numerous occasions with young boys being delivered to the residency part of number 10, and these kids were taken from care homes, and the officers had a dilemma and they discussed it amongst themselves. I had their details and I did try and make contact with them, and they said their discussion with each other was that if we go to our boss, we'll get moved. If we say anything, it's just not going to go anywhere. But they didn't know what to do, but to do nothing wasn't an option. So the next time a little kid got delivered at the unsociable early hours of the morning, and one of the officers, he'd think he'd had a bit of a tough childhood, so he recognised the situation and he smelt a PDF file in Ted Heath, right? So they approached Ted Heath personally, right, and said, right, sir, we know what's going on, it stops. Ted Heath then apparently, allegedly, turned around and went, oh, okay, yeah, know what you mean, yeah, and it did stop for 2 weeks. And then both officers were pensioned off early, right? So it went on. We had a guy called Mike Veal. I mean, you've got to Google Mike Veal. My word, never has a braver man ever walked, the soil of this country. You know, Mike Veal was the chief constable of Wiltshire. He stood on Sky News and said, that there were dozens and dozens of young kids here. That are now adults, who made testimonies that they are RAPE'd by Ted Heath, right? Most are boys, and we have information that Ted Heath was involved in satanic ritual abuse. He said it. Mike Veal can't even get a job at a local news agency now because they've destroyed his life that much, the intelligence services and everything else, right? So anyone who speaks up is going to get crushed, and I'm living testimony to that. So what we're seeing here is he's got caught out. He's pushed the envelope the wrong way, or whatever's happened, something has gone wrong. And this guy, say Freemasonry, right? They say in Freemasonry, if you reveal the secrets, you'll have your throat sealed, your belly cut, or whatever it might be, these threats they give, right? People laugh at it. Oh, yeah, whatever.
It's your chest cut open and your heart bare to the sun.
Yeah, and all that sort of stuff. But, and they say, oh, it's just allegorically and this is all that. But is it? Is it really? Okay, low level, no, no, of course it's not. It's just a load of men drinking together and thinking they're doing good for society. But when you break it down right to its sinister underbelly, the inception of what it really is, you get guys like this fella here. And he probably has done the wrong thing, said the wrong thing. And he knows that that is going to be, like was said to me, thrown to the wolves, right? So he conveniently hung himself in police custody while the cameras were having their film changed, blah, blah, blah. Who did the same thing? Well, and we mentioned it on this show, Fred West, right? Fred West, I've mentioned it more than once on this show.
Yeah.
Fred West was the Poundland of Epstein Island.
We spoke about how very similar and how the wives always tend to live on in prison.
Yeah.
It's an odd one. Fred
West was like him. They're procurers. These are people right there. I can't remember the guy's name, but he came to me. He's from the Netherlands and he's a banker. Anyway, they made a documentary about him and he went very, very high up in the fiscal world, in the merchant banking, right to the very, very top. And he said at the very top, it is satanic, it's ritualistic. They start off with orgies, with adults, it then goes to children, and then there is sacrifices, right? And he openly said it. This is what goes on at a very high echelons of the business world.
Well, look, John, I wanted to show you a few things, right? And from, your experience in the police. This is the 11 hours of footage that was released of Epstein's supposed cell door, right? Now, we're going to watch this, and then we're going to watch a little bit of another creator called CoffeeZilla explaining the layout of the prison and the angle of the cameras, okay? But before we do that, John, what does this say to you, right? We're just going to watch the clock here, okay? And something very interesting happens. I think it's at 59. It happens. There we go. You see that?
Yeah, there's a minute. It jumps a minute.
It jumps a minute and it gets reframed.
All right.
You see what I'm saying? So 100% something's going on here, right?
Yeah.
Now, if I said to you, and again, people who in the chat who have watched me for a while, I talk a lot about let me cook for a second here, John, right? So I talk a lot about the passive media consumer. So the person that's going to see 11 hours of Epstein footage released and skim past, okay? And in their brain, they now know, oh, the FBI have released the footage that they said they were going to do, right? And they might click on it and they'll see cell doors and they'll assume what they're seeing is Epstein's door. When in actual fact, none of what we're seeing is Epstein's door. And like I say, I'm gonna just play this bit of CoffeeZilla's video. It's about 3 minutes of his video. And he's going to explain the layout. And for those of you who haven't seen this or don't know the layout, it's so crucial to this. So just take a look, John.
Cell. They lay out the structure of the jail cell and the jail itself. And here you can see it's a two-leveled system. There's a lower tier, there's an upper tier, and Epstein was in the L tier, okay? Here is where the camera actually was that we're seeing. We're gonna go ahead and go through this so you can see that's what it looks like. There's upper floor, lower floor. Epstein was located on the upper floor in what's called the L tier, okay? Which is right here. You can see it even better from here. Here's Epstein's cell. Here's the hallway. And right here is the camera, which was not recording. Unlike what Kash Patel sort of insinuates that they're going to release that footage. They don't have that footage. According to them, the recording wasn't working. It was streaming, but not recording. The footage apparently had the DVR system stopped working about 10 days before all of this happened. This is in their own report. That's not me saying that. Around July 29th.
Can I ask you, John, in your experience with police stations and let's say prisons as well, what's the sort of urgency put on when cameras are down for sort of repair time or things like that? I mean, it seems to me,
firstly, I've never known there to be any repair time. And if you look at the repair time, that 1 minute to midnight, I mean, who would be 1 minute to midnight?
That wasn't them repairing it. That's just a totally, that was the only camera that was working.
Yeah, one minute to midnight. You know, again, if they're going to do anything, surely it'd be during the day when you've got maintenance stuff.
We're going to get to that.
I've never known stuff to be down. When I first started, there was no cameras, right? There wasn't any.
Yeah.
So it was basically down to an officer's word. CCTV came.
Good old days, John, right? The good old days. Am I right, mate? Am I right? Days. Am I right?
Fantastic days. Bring them back anytime. You know,
that's the one, right?
Yeah. Scotland had the best system. We had audio-taped interviews. Videotaped interviews came in for children, but audio-taped interviews. Scotland did not have the Police and Criminal Evidence Act, and you could do a suspect interview in Scotland without audio equipment, and you could write it in pencil.
Yeah, hell yeah. Nothing dodgy about that, John. Move along, mate. Just move along.
The most honest system there is. But, So the CCTV came in sort of late 1990s, and then it really got enhanced. So it was usually just in the communal areas, and then they started putting cameras in cells, but not in the toilet. That was blacked out, so you couldn't, you know, they would black that out for dignity reasons. But the cells themselves all became camered up. We just got to look at... the chances. What are the chances? What are the chances of the biggest terrorist atrocity in the UK and the cameras being out? There was another one where someone attempted to drive at Parliament and the cameras were out. So the cameras always being maintained at a time when this goes on. Look, if I was to go to Crown Court and I'm accused of beating up a prisoner,
whoa,
and at the same second I beat up a prisoner, the camera went out. I mean, how many people believe that? None, right? So why are we expected to believe this absolute nonsense?
We shouldn't believe it, John,
because it's a lie.
John, you know how I like to single out one of your God-loving people every week, right? So there's a guy called Chosen One in the side chat, right? And for whatever reason, he's saying, go check out my content. So I thought, all right, I'll go check out your content. I think you're about to have like a freaking Jesus moment, John.
Go.
Right? Like, I swear to God, I think this guy has filmed a cross lit up in the sky, right?
Oh, okay.
And what, for a start, why is it flying about? That is definitely moving. We can all agree with that.
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
Wait for it, John. Wait for it. That, I tell you what, regardless of whatever it is, that is mad. But if you look on, like, his little, see that there, John, on his profile picture that I put on the screen.
No.
If you like, where we're chatting, you can see the Chosen One. I'll try and find out a bigger bit of text by him.
Oh right, okay, yeah. I'll go.
You see the wee cross?
Yeah.
That's wicked, dude. Honestly, that's wicked. I tell you what.
Look to the skies, and it looked to the skies.
I tell you what, Chosen One, you're actually with good people here for stuff like that. We're not all Jesus crew, but man, that is proper wild, bro. Proper wild. Call it spaceship, call it Jeebus, call it an angel, call it a satellite, whatever. Really epic footage, mate. Really epic. Well done. Really good job. Anyway, John, I was on a roll here, right? So give me a second. So we were watching this bit of footage from freaking what's his name, and now I've lost it. See what happens, John. See what happens when I get sidetracked. Everyone, oh, here we go. Okay, we're finding out about the layout here, John. This is important.
It stopped recording as it was supposed to. Now, here's where you can see what actually was recording the day of. So you can see this is the camera that we have access to. and it's looking this way. So that camera footage we see is not of Epstein's cell at all. You can't see it. Instead, this is the guard station over here.
Okay, you see the
guard station. And the staircase is like this little, like 3 pixels right there.
You see that, John? Desk, 3 pixels is a staircase, right? You see that?
Yeah, yeah.
Looks like 3 wee knuckles.
So it's an actual joke if you think that this footage somehow had a perfect line of sight of Epstein's jail cell and you couldn't have run an op, right? Even during the missing 1 minute window, because, oh, we had a perfect line of sight on his door. They don't. And the cameras were not recording. As testified here, like, and it's crazy, the FBI director is spreading misinformation going, oh, I don't know who told you that. You guys told us that. These cameras right here are streaming, but not recording. You can see it right there. There's Epstein's cell.
So streaming would be if John's sitting at a desk. He can see what's going on the screens, but nothing's actually being recorded of what's being
said. I mean, why do people struggle to believe it? Well, I'm going to give you an example. There was a woman crashes her car in there's an area called Vauxhall Cross in London. It's an amazing area, right? Because all the intelligence buildings are all in this area. But it's got the highest proliferation of gay dungeon clubs at the same time. So nothing to see there. Let's move on. But it's a very weird place, right? So any intelligence service, they've got their headquarters in this little area. A car crashes there and there's a woman driving a car and she's drunk. So she gets arrested, right? And on the way back to the police station, she's going, oh, I shouldn't really be in London. I'm going to get in trouble. And the guy, his friend of mine, looked at this woman and he's thinking, I know her. I know this woman. And she calls him Gov. Now, that might not mean anything, but to a copper, that means she's been in prison, right? If they call the police officers Miss and the men Gov, it's usually terminology from the prison. So you know they've had dealings with the law when they say that, right? So he's like, oh, she starts then really panicking as he takes her back to the police station, takes her to the police station, and she gives her name, and there's no trace on the police national computer at all, right? No trace whatsoever. So he decides to take her fingerprints, and she goes into a real panic then. But she said she was on her way to Brixton, which is just around a mile away from Vauxhall, right? So he decides to go down to Brixton Police Station and look through the index that they used to have. He used to have an old card index, and there'll be local intelligence of any woman that's arrested in that area and charged, that they keep a photo, a convicted photograph.
Yeah, okay.
So with men, there's a lot. With women, there's not so many. So it's not going to take him long. So we go for it. He finds her, like the name. It's like, that's her. Totally different name. So he goes back to the cell, opens the little wicket thing, comes down, and he turns around and he calls out the name on the photo card. And she turns around and looks at him. And she says, I'm in so much trouble now. So he also takes her fingerprints, takes them up to a special department at Scotland Yard that would do quick time fingerprint search. They used to do it manually. They'd have an expert would manually look through it. And it comes back again with this woman. But it's a totally different name to her documents and to the name that she gave, right? So she keeps saying, you've got to ring this senior officer. You've got to ring him now. And then they realise this woman's probably an informant, right?
Right.
She says, I shouldn't be in London. The next thing, the police station gets shut down. Special branch descend. And the woman is ghosted out. CCTV seized, everything. She's just gone.
Damn. Wow.
Gone. No trace of her.
That escalated fast, John. I'm not going to lie.
Right. Boom. So my friend said to the special branch guy, come on, we deserve an explanation here. And he went, I'll tell you who she is. Yeah, that's a woman, you know. They shouldn't have kept her card. It should have been eliminated. She's under a new identity. And she was a prostitute, and she got involved with a very, very high level minister in parliament, very, very well-known parliamentary guy. And it caused a massive, massive scandal, a huge, huge scandal. And it could have brought down quite a few members of parliament. And this guy is very, very, I won't name him on here.
Yeah, don't. I want to get back to this video as well, John. Yeah,
but the woman was then gone. She disappeared and ghosted out. So it happens all the time. All the time.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you, right? But, John, let me get to the end of this like a minute and a half of this, and then we're going to talk about a series of events, because this happens all the time, but it's never happened this way before, bro. It ain't ever
that would have been on him. It's not there.
The bigger picture of it all, which I'll get to.
And yet he goes in front of millions of people.
So this is the camera that we're seeing the footage from, this camera here, okay? Right. Which you can see the angle of here. And you can see the staircase and the edge of the door, which covers up us being able to see Epstein's cell, right?
Well, otherwise, it's so irresponsible.
And if they had gotten...
So this is the head of the FBI, Patel, Cash Patel.
Into the cell, you would see it.
But we were told that the cameras were down.
Well, I don't know who said that.
But that was in the news.
Yeah, again, it wasn't just...
So what's weird here, John, right? I interviewed a guy, big shout out to Rob. He's a former FBI agent. And I'd asked him, when was the last time you seen the head of the FBI going on a podcast, going on anything while they still have their career? That's usually what they do, the former this or the former that. It's never happened before, okay? So in the same year, we've got the head of the FBI going on Joe Rogan podcast the same night that Elon Musk posted about Trump being on the list. We've got the head of the FBI saying that there's no possible way Epstein unaligned himself, and that we'll wait to hear about the client list. Now, that is someone from the mainstream entering into new media to change the mind and the thought process of the people who've moved away from the mainstream to get the answers that are real.
Okay, well, let's look at it another way, right?
Let me finish cooking this, John, right? Because I just want to get to the end of this, and then I'll come back to you, right? When we've got these individuals, and then we have this footage, we then, John, have another issue in this piece of footage. I believe it's at 38. We're going to get a brief glimpse of some orange. We've got the guy moving here. He comes round. And then round about 38 minutes, you're going to see a little puff of orange. Now just bear with me. Hold on a second, let me just check my timestamps. 10:38, right? Yeah. I know, just bear with me. You're just going to just let it play, people. I'm sorry. But basically, what you're about to see is a bit of orange jumpsuit. And this is apparently when Epstein was removed from his cell so that he could have a phone call that was to be unmonitored, and then he was returned to his cell. We've got a missing minute. We've got cameras not working. We've got the head of the FBI going on the Joe Rogan podcast to talk about how basically we're all wrong and they're going to prove it. We've had 11 hours of footage released that basically shows absolutely nothing and raises more questions. Here we go, the guard's moving again. Now, originally what they had said was what you're about to see here is the guard coming back with laundry. And that is what the brief glimpse of orange is that's about to be seen, if I've got the right time scamp. One second. Apologies, just bear with me. It might be this one. Yeah, Yeah, I think it's this one. Just bear with me, people. There it is. There it is. There it is. Okay, so you see this like little glimpse of orange. And again, here. Okay. Now, this is Epstein being moved. And this is going against everything that we were told previously. It completely goes against what Kash Patel's saying, that there couldn't possibly have been any sort of operation to take him out. I don't get how video cameras can be running in a place where if a guard is attacked, they would need video evidence to help out with the case or claims or whatever. How the hell, John, have we gotten to a point, and you can hit us with a wedge or analogy here, okay, and thank you so much for letting me cook here, John, but how in God's name are we now meant to sit here and watch history being rewritten? Because I can guarantee you the next thing will be that photo was fake and Andrew's innocent. Guaranteed. That's the next thing coming, is the re-establishing of the prince. And I mean, I'm telling you that the monarchy being behind it all just for that reason makes sense to me, because it's not the queen's monarchy anymore. And those of you who just cringed when I said monarchy, I know, but it's a realness in this. But what do you think, John? I mean, never before.
Well, I'll tell you what I think. Evidence. Firstly, okay, the prisoners might be wearing orange, so I'd have to say, well, what is the standard dress for a prisoner? Do they wear an orange jumpsuit?
Oh yeah, 100%. This is all being super fact checked.
What I've told you can't see who it is, so evidently. It's just like a little streak.
No. This is what I've said is the official statement of the FBI.
Yeah, that's okay. But then there'll be a thing called a custody log if they run a system similar to UK. So anytime anyone is out, because there'll be comings and goings. People will be out their cell. They could be taken out for a cigarette. They could be taken out to make a phone call. I mean, if their codes are practically the same as ours, they could be allowed out for a phone call. There might be reasons to keep someone incognito initially, but once that's passed, there's nothing stopping him taking a call. So, but if that tallies up with the custody officer's log, because anything that happens will have to be logged down and recorded. Okay. So I'd want to have a look at the log.
What about then, John? What about then when the guy at the forefront of releasing the Epstein client list, Trump and his entire cabinet, agree that it doesn't exist weeks after Elon Musk said that they're not going to release it because Trump is on the list. And now Elon and Trump have fallen out, and Musk is now saying he's going to start a political party and, you know, try and change the world that way. I mean, have we ever seen anything like this? I know the elite.
Yes, we have, because we had someone that would actually be the queen now if she was still alive. She started saying things about our royal family not being human, being spiritual entities of a negative kind. She was saying it. She then said, "My husband is planning on having me killed." And shortly after she said that, she was, in my opinion, murdered. Publicly, she died in the most agonizing, appalling way, and then her body was exsanguinated of blood, for no apparent reason. There were so many anomalies that went along the line.
Yeah, it's the same as
have seen it. This woman would now be queen if that hadn't have happened. She was a person of the people, she was liked, and she was speaking out. So, yes, we've seen it.
Well, this is the thing. At least they've done the courtesy of putting it in a tunnel where nobody could see anything. This would be like if they turned around and said, "Oh no, it wasn't in a car crash in a tunnel. Diana fell off a bridge."
But people did do it, and then the lies that came along with it. The officer that was running it said it's a cover up. So it's look at John.
100%.
Did you ever hear about a guy
called Isaac Cappy? Possibly not.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Now, here's something. Someone just said Elon is on substances, right? So I seen a short today, right? We're going to watch this short because...
When you look at Elon Musk, he seems like insane.
You can say what you want about Elon Musk, right? But when you see this short, John, you got to ask yourself, why is it taking a dude to do this? Why is this not what countries and, like... politicians are doing. Listen to this.
Chaotic from the outside. Why does he have the boring company? That doesn't make any sense. He's drilling all these tunnels underground. Like, why would he do that? Well, if he wants to go to Mars, humans aren't going to live on the surface of Mars. They're going to live underground. So you're going to have to build massive tunnel complexes underground. Well, why does he have a solar company? He's going to have to be pretty good at building power plants, right? So why don't you build large solar fields? Because there's no real estate problems on Mars. So you can build like a 5-mile solar field on Mars if you wanted to. Why does he have all these Tesla bots? You're not going to have 5 million humans show up overnight, but you can ship millions of robots ahead of time and use them as your labor force to help build up everything, and they don't need atmosphere or any of these other things. Why does he have an AI company? Well, you need some sort of intelligence to coordinate and run and terraform the planet. Why does he need a battery power car company? Because you're not going to be running internal combustion and just there's no fossil fuels to consume on Mars, so you need battery power cars to be able to drive them around. It's actually coherent. He probably like wrote it all down while high and drunk, and he's like, this makes so much sense.
That's why it's okay for people like Elon Musk to be on substances. Okay, because if it wasn't for people like that, if you didn't, you telling me you think a man has planned out everything he needs to populate Mars with humans and there was no substances involved? Come on, not even John's buying that. But John, right, we've got Elon Musk, we've got Trump, they've fallen out. We've got this declaration that apparently Trump is on this list. I believe, and I've said it this week, I know you're saying that we've seen this stuff before. Of course we have. But we've never seen it in a way where they've just told us that this is a hand, and now they're telling us it's a foot. Do you see what I mean? We've seen corruption, we've seen assassinations, we've seen cover-ups, but we've never seen a presidential party waving evidence around and then say that it no longer exists. We've got a missing minute of footage. We've got more questions. And now we've got Kash Patel, like I say, trying to mainstream narratives and change public opinion.
We had 114 cases of the most horrific abuse against kids handed, and they were handed to Theresa May, and then they went missing. We had files and files of horrific abuse by sent to our Home Secretary. What was the guy now? Jeffrey Dickens, an MP called Jeffrey Dickens. He sent these files to Leon Britton, and then they went missing, right? And then see how many allegations were made against Leon Britton whilst he was alive, and posthumously as well. So we've seen all of that in this country, and it's always a case of we'll look into this, and then there's nothing to see, now move on.
Right.
We've had it all. The problem is because people, they have idolatry, and they look at America, they think we have an FBI. If you talk to any of the kids in the inner city and say, how do you call the police? They'll go 911. They think our armed forces... That we have Navy SEALs. I talk to these kids all the time.
Yeah.
Everything's got to be American. One second.
You're okay, mate. You're okay. Listen, take a minute, everybody, to just like and subscribe. That would be freaking awesome. If you want to come out and ask a question to the panel, to myself or to John, come and use the Discord link. I'm posting it right now in the chat for you wonderful people. And come and give us... Oh, wait, no, that's actually the wrong link, but that'll do. It'll do something. It'll get you somewhere. Okay, so... Catherine, I'll be honest with you. This whole Epstein thing feels like a massive panic move. I feel like this is the sort of thing that happens when you back someone into a corner and they're like, oh my God, we need to get rid of this narrative. John, here's a theory for you. I kind of feel like the way that this Epstein list has been removed, the way that Virginia was taken out, the way that Lady Harvey, whatever her name is, went on Piers Morgan and tried to destroy the narrative about the photo of Virginia and the man formerly known as Prince. Does this feel almost a little bit, or could it resemble a panic move? Like there's something going on.
It's damaged reputation. So, I mean, how naive of Joe Rogan and his viewers to think that an active member of the FBI would go on there and tell the truth.
Well, no one did. That's the thing, John. No one did. That's the thing. Everyone seen it for what it was. This is the thing. Like, everyone seen it for what it was. And every time that Kash Patel was trying to say, oh, I don't know where you're getting that from, Joe. Joe's pulling up, you know, where somebody from a political party or our news coverage or the Department of Defense has covered it, or it was said in the case. I almost feel like there was something.
We have the same things when we have press conferences and they put out a narrative. They do exactly the same when the BBC does stuff. They put out the official narrative and it's a blatant lie. But the thing is, what they have to address the issue. So they address it, and it's damage limitation. And what we've got to understand, there's a world of difference between policing issues and issues of national security importance.
Okay, well,
and what's happened with this guy here and with Trump and everything else, it's stuff that could cause political instability. So therefore, it has a different entity looking at it, and the rules are different. They cannot allow it to go down the path of political instability.
Yeah, okay, so call it damage control then, right? But this feels like poorly managed damage control. This feels like panic time. This feels like we need to get rid of the poster child that brought down the whole case. She's gone. Now we need to get rid of the possibility that what she said was real by eradicating the client list, which means, you know, none of these girls were here to see anyone but Epstein. And that is the same as what we've seen in the Diddy case. Everything that shies away from there being this known secret.
But if you look back to 9/11, and yep, the BBC made that,
oh yeah, they did,
that faux pas about Building 7. Our Building 7's collapsing. It was still up. It didn't collapse for another 2 minutes. 80% of the American populace do not believe the official narrative in respect to John F. Kennedy's death. And it must be similar when it comes to the narrative of 9/11. When you've got doctors of architecture like Judy Woods, wrote a book about how the towers fell, and she gives empirical evidence, scientific evidence, irrefutable evidence that these buildings cannot possibly crumble and fall in the way they did by being hit by an airplane.
Well, do you know what? They can when they have thermite detonation. Can I just ask, does anybody put a one in the side chat if you totally believe the government's explanation for 9/11? Put a two in the side chat if you do not believe the official government report for 9/11. Do that in the chat.
And also, Lady Diana's death, who believes that it was a car accident? It was just bad luck.
Nah, no one does. No one does.
No one does. But yet they still maintain that. And then they have the Diana inquiry. And the same thing. And they rolled out the same people. So they've rolled out here. They've rolled out this Patel guy. Well, they rolled out over here. They rolled out Michael Mansfield. He gets rolled out. It's the same thing.
Yeah, but listen, he's Patel, or anyone like Patel's never been rolled out. This is the thing, John. We've seen things similar to this, and I totally agree that the on paper, the end result, bad guys win through cover-up. We've seen that before, but never so lazily and blatant. At least they try and convince us that we're not complete morons, usually. Because this is craziness, John. This is what the whole of Trump's party was built on, and now it no longer exists. I'm just grabbing a bottle of water, John. It's craziness. It's absolute craziness. And I feel like there's something brewing behind the scenes that is connected to the Epstein case, connected to the royals. I don't know whether or not it's going to be an announcement that they're going to try and bring Prince Andrew back in, or if it's got something to do with scary individuals. Because, John, we've got to remember, people like Virginia were just little loose ends to the multi-million dollar royal families of the world.
But it also goes to show that if you become a risk, you die. It's as simple as that. You're taken out and you die. A chief constable said to me, anyone who thinks they can take this government and win is an effing idiot. And I would totally concur with that. You get a lot of these social media activists saying, you know, I'm going to take the government on and the government are worried. No, they're not. They're not bothered. You're just a thorn in their side, and you'll be taken out of the picture, whether you get sectioned, you get stitched up. They tried to stitch me up, and I'm sure they would have probably next step tried to section me. I got classed as a conspiracy theorist by politicians and all sorts. But now the national media want me because what I said was predicted, because it's the truth.
Did you ever see that movie with Mel Gibson called Conspiracy Theory?
Yeah.
I genuinely might spend the time AIing your face onto Mel Gibson throughout that whole movie.
There's a film called Michael Clayton. It's well worth watching. Brilliant. George Clooney, Michael Clayton.
I might have seen it.
And it's exactly the same. You know, you're taken out of the picture. You're gone. So, you know, you can have little victories here and there. But if you start altering, you know, the course of conduct when it comes to those high up and cause political instability, you're finished, mate. You're finished.
Do you know one person that we never really talk too much about? And we may, unless you know who I'm talking about. Do you remember Anthony Bourdain?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So there's a huge conspiracy surrounding him. Some peddler of conspiracy theories seem to have an unhealthy obsession with child things, especially ones that can be linked through the leap of the... Because it's exactly what you would expect from mainstream media, right? Talking about the insanity and how this can't possibly be real. But it's the same when you look at things like the former lead singer of Linkin Park, right? A guy called Chester. Now, Chester's son's now grown up and is a full-grown man and officially posted a few weeks ago that he is investigating his father's death because he was another one who had discovered the secret. You know what I'm saying, John? He'd found out about the powerful people involved in this and wanted to speak out. So did Isaac Cappy. There's a lot of people that get too close and right, then... Let me just ask you the question. So if there's anyone out there now, if there's an Anthony Bourdain, if there's a Chester, if there's somebody out there that you could advise on how the hell you would get that information out the safest way, what would be, would it be like a blanket campaign of mass media, like sending all at once? Like, what would your advice be to somebody who wanted to liberate information, so to say?
Well, I mean, what can they tell us that hasn't already been said? I mean, St. Paul, in his letters to the Ephesians, said we deal with wickedness in high places, spiritual wickedness in high places. So it's out there already. But I mean, we'll stand up and speak out. It's all to do with proof, not truth. If you've got the proof, pull it out there. But who will listen to you? Well, the press, they might do, they might not do. The police, some might, but will it ever get out there? No, it's the same issue that we all have, right? So the National Council for Policing have just released a paper now, right, saying that the reality of satanic ritual abuse, and they're bringing in a training program for officers to now recognize cases of satanic ritual abuse. When I spoke about it, I was mocked by the National College of Policing and classed as a nutcase by them. But now they're stating it is a reality and we will be training officers regarding it. If you was to say that, you know, that there are high-level Satanists and that they are using children in rituals, you get laughed at. Yet there's enough films that allude to this. So
right.
It gets put out allegorically. Look at the film The Wicker Man. It puts it out there allegorically.
They pretty cut to the chase of The Wicker Man, man. Like that movie, they remade that with Nicolas Cage. And yeah, that like there's something about people getting burnt alive. I think I was burnt alive. I must have been in one of my previous lives, burnt at the stake. In fact, fun fact, all of my family from my mum's mother's side, so my grandmother's side, the whole lineage throughout Ireland where our blood was from was basically wiped out for witchcraft, burnt at the stake, rolled down the hills in the barrels with the spikes, led down to the lake to see if you would drown, all that good stuff, you know, all that good stuff. Now, please like and subscribe, everybody. Make sure you're subscribed to John down in the description as well. And make sure you subscribe to my channel. I'm charging all my equipment. We'll be heading out in the next few days, possibly the weekend, out doing a bit of a ghost investigation in Edinburgh. We'll be live streaming it and recording it for analysis after. And I'd love to see as many of you there as possible. So make sure you subscribe. So, John.
Right, so in regards to your last question, it's unbelievably busy at the moment. So, would I recommend anyone speaks up? Well, it's a personal choice, isn't it? I mean, I was in a situation where children were being badly, badly hurt and some were dying. So it was a matter of consciousness. And I was like, well, I can't live with this. I can't have this on my conscience. I'm going to speak out. But I paid a terrible price for it. Ultimately, it could have been a lot worse. And others did get destroyed. Some got imprisoned and some took their own lives. Do the police, the system and that take it seriously? Well, they do at a very high level because it could cause massive, massive embarrassment and damage to them. Will it ever change? Well, we are seeing it now change because the snippets of info that people like myself have put out there have caused such a public reaction that there is an incremental, very slow, change that is in the air, that is moving forward because we were telling the truth. But, if you expect the government to admit to these things, and that you're a nutcase because they're not,
Okay, so let's talk realistically then, right? So in fantasy world, John, if we were to do something where, like, every single, because we're in the digital era now, have you seen the movie V for Vendetta? The guy with the mask?
I started watching it, but I never finished watching it.
Okay, so there's a bit in that where he hijacks the national broadcast, right? And he puts out a message and the whole country's viewing it. Let's just say World Cup finals or whatever. I don't know, something where everyone's focusing on their screens. Do you think we live in a day and age where if we had a hijack of information services that pushed forward a call or put forward evidence? Let's say they played 20 seconds of Trump and someone else at a Diddy party, for example, right? Do you think even that would be enough to start change? And if so, what do you actually think the outcome would be?
Look, who are going to be our change agents? In the 1970s, we had quite radical students, yep. And anything that happened, and if you take the 80s with the poll tax riots.
Yep.
Look, what are our youth now? I spoke to a group of young men a little while back, and they didn't even know, not where was, but what was Glasgow. These are lads from the UK. Of migrant kids that don't matter.
But in all fairness, John, Scotland has spent millions of pounds convincing most of the rest of the world that Glasgow doesn't exist. So that's just money well spent. I'm not going
to
lie.
One kid thought, right, out of the five I spoke to, none of them knew the difference between a squirrel and a badger. Right, they didn't even know what a badger was. Some three out of five knew what a squirrel was, but they had no idea what a badger was, right? They didn't know where Glasgow was, and they thought polar bears lived in Scotland, right? So that is the level. So do you think they're really bothered? They, like I said to you earlier, they think that we've got Navy SEALs in this country.
John.
911 is to call the
police. You're looking at one demographic, right? There is another demographic of you.
They may be, but
everything, okay?
But unfortunately, the demographic that I deal with is very widespread, and it populates a lot of our inner cities, and people are ignorant.
Yeah, but John, what would it be an entire future generation of voters swaying away. This is another impact it would have.
But listen to this, right? When they went and they took machine gun nests during the First World War, they run out into no man's land. They weren't the educated populace that did that. They were the lower and the working classes that got sent out to the Dardanelles, out to Ypres, Flanders and all that, and that ran into machine gun fire, right? And they were told to do it. So we do rely on these lower working class lads to do our fighting. Well, they're going to be out of luck if they rely on these idiots, because they can't get out of bed. They don't even know where Glasgow is. They don't know what a badger is. They don't know to talk a squirrel or a badger.
John, listen.
You know,
I'm going to tell you a story, John.
What hope have we got?
I'm going to tell you a story. Do you remember when the G4 summit came to Scotland? This was years ago, right?
Yeah.
So the anarchist party wrote to Edinburgh Council because they're a party or they're, I don't know, whatever, they had to be given camping grounds for the protest. This was huge. So every patch of grass that people had to come up to protest the G8 or whatever it was, the big summit or whatever. So the anarchists said they were coming to Edinburgh to smash up the city, right? And they put them in a place called Nidri, okay? Now, Nidri is what you imagine it would be, John. It's that place where hopelessness exists. And, you know, there's a lot of brown. It's the crime fest. It is the hardest, most badass, you know, ghetto there is. So what happened, John, was all the anarchists set up their tents. And these kids that don't know where Glasgow is spent the day robbing bricks from Bricky's sites. And when they were all camping, went and threw hundreds of bricks into the tents of the sleeping anarchist, smashed them all to pieces, and sent them away packing. Because there's one thing you don't do, John, right? And that is mess with a city. And the minute that people find out that they are being ruled by somebody who the children of their city no longer become safe, that is triggering enough to see something happen. It would take the hijacking of the entire national broadcast, though, John. You see what I mean? It wouldn't be just be like, oh, let's go do some flyering.
Look, I think we overestimate the intelligence of some of these. We've got a huge populace that have got no paternal guidance. There's so many of these kids that are base level illiterate. They don't get out of bed before midday. It's a mess out there. I'm telling you, it's a mess. But also, there's no loyalty to the United Kingdom.
John, you're cynical this evening.
So it's.
I just want to say, you're in cynical.
We rely on them to do our bidding and to wake up and take. Them days are gone. Them days are so long gone. We're in a world of trouble more than we ever know.
John, we're discussing in the realm of fantasy world. I've given you my sales pitch on what I think it would take. My genuine opinion is we would need to, every TV in America, every TV in the UK, in Europe, simultaneously broadcasting a message that shows the reality. That would be my fantasy world. This could make change. What you've got complete freedom, John. What can you tell? Give us a slither of hope here.
If you was to show people what really runs the world, the demonic influence entities, they just wouldn't believe you anyway. I mean, it's the same when I talk to people about known celebrities that are PDF files, and they won't accept it. There's one.
Do you think we're up against people would rather just live in ignorance?
Willful ignorance.
Yeah. Wow.
Light another joint, smoke it, and then spend all day playing Xbox.
Listen, you can do both those things and still be a very productive person, John. Okay.
Well, good luck with that one. But
I'm just saying, John, you can. It's just, you know, don't take a job that involves a lot of manual labor if that's the life you want to have.
But I think that this thing has been slow paced. There has been an erosion of family values. There's been erosion of morals. And it's culminated in what we've got now. And there is no resistance now. No resistance. The strong man has been overcome in the house. And there's no one there to fight him off. So it'll be a walk in the park to whoever wants to take this over. It's the job is already done. It's, you know, and those of us that do stand up and I mean,
you're so cynical tonight. I think it's you that needs to go home and smoke a joint. I'm not going to lie. Like, I honestly think, like, just a little cheeky, like, you know, we'll see how stressed out you are after some medication. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, relax. Listen, John, it's never a case where there's no hope, all right?
I'm not saying that without a doubt there is hope. But I think that there needs to be a massive reality check, you know, as to how
that was the far... least convincing there is hope I've ever heard in my life, John.
But it's gone too far.
It's gone too far.
Too diluted. And we're just seeing it now. We don't see the resistance we once had. And things with decency.
I think you're wrong. I think we're seeing more resistance now. And I just think I'm seeing a whole different youth.
Well, I think they can't get away with what they used to get away with because of people like myself, Lenny Harper, Mikey Veal, that stood up and said, actually, there's blatant corruption in the heart of British government. And it's PDF files that have done it.
Yeah.
So they can't have the cover-ups that they once had because professional people like myself and other brave ones have stood up, been smashed to pieces, have put it at a very, very high risk. But we've got through it. But there's others that weren't as fortunate that have succumbed to taking their own lives and mental health and alcoholism and everything else out of sheer frustration and the fact that the system has broken them. So, but, you know, it's a war of
attrition. Is it then, John, is it about finding wins in protecting our own and finding wins in our own work then? Because,
well, look, we need politicians.
Hang on one second. First, Ron definitely doesn't, I don't know where you're coming in with that. Ron thinks the whole Trump like persona is gone now. I'm very disappointed, Trump. Ron, you're a Pollyanna. I don't know what that means. Ron, accept the truth. Ron, we're having a discussion here. This isn't necessarily my point of view. We're having a discussion here, people. Like, if you got to keep up with what we're talking about here. So,
I wouldn't put my faith in man. He just gave a sales pitch, didn't he, Trump? And people bought it. Well, you know, he is. He's a salesman, and that's that. As he drained the swamp, I don't think he has. The same as this country, it's just lies after lies after lies. And you know, the devil's language is deception and lies. So if he has given, you know, but look, Jesus said, by their fruits shall you know them, right? Not by their words. Do not listen to people's words. By their fruits shall you know them, right? And that's what we got to look at. If they produce the goods, then they're good. If they don't, they're a liar and they ain't any good. So it's by their fruits. We must look at their fruits and not listen to their words. And what we look, what are the fruits of Donald Trump in respect to this Epstein thing? Cover up. What are the fruits of the P. Diddy case in respect to Donald Trump? Cover up. He's a cover up merchant. And he's shown that. That's his fruits. He's a liar if he says he's going to do it because he's done nothing. And it's the same with the government inquiry, this Baroness Casey. If she goes out and starts arresting chief constables for malfeasance, Lord Mayors, local authority councillors for their cover-ups, heads of social services for their cover-ups and everything else, then we know by her fruits she's a good woman. If sod all happens and nothing changes, then she is a liar like the rest of them, and like Justice Jay and all that, where nothing changed. So it will be a physical thing. By their fruits we must judge these people, not their words. They can, because the devil speaks a language of lies.
Well, listen, Odin says, all doorways before going forward, John, should be looked to, for it is difficult to know where foes may sit within a dwelling, okay? And it's the exact same mindset of, you have to look at all these individuals and not hand out trust so willingly, and we shouldn't assume everyone who sits beside us is somebody who we should trust and have give our respect.
So we had a politician called Andrew Bridgen who stood up and said, these vaccines ain't any good, right? They ain't been tested properly. They're going to cause a lot of harm. You should not be giving up to kids and everything else. They threw him out of his party. They threw him out of parliament. And when he gave an address, you know, on one of their PMQs, who turned up? No one. There was no one there. No one turned up. They booed him. They made animal noises at him. And one politician that was backing me turned around and said, if you are friends with Andrew Bridgen, I can't help you. So they ruined him and ostracized him. And then they went after his business and everything else, tried to destroy the guy because he was telling the truth. So we get it over here, the same thing. We get them covering things up all the time. Look at the Gulf War with Tony Blair. A lie after lie after lie.
I'm with you. Also, Polly, listen, Ron's definitely not wrong. John and I have a very different perspective on things. And I would also consider myself an expert, having spent close to a decade infiltrating, shutting down, exposing cartels, dark web groups, probably close to 30,000 websites that promoted horrendous abuse no longer exist because of my team. I've got a very different set of skill sets. So does John. But trust me, I consider myself an expert. It's just when it comes to the politics, I'm very much a believer in... I want to imagine a scenario that can happen, you know, because so much of this comes down to swaying the fence sitters, okay? We're never going to persuade everyone, okay? We just have to have more people on our side than on their side. And it's a slow process. But never before has the process been so swift as in the digital age, you know? But anyone who thinks that there's no hope for this, it's sad for me. So make sure you guys like and subscribe. Make sure you give this a little share. Make sure you subscribe to John. Make sure you subscribe to myself. John and I, obviously, very different religious views. I was just talking about how basically hundreds of years ago you would have tried to burn me for being a heretic.
but the thing is, like, we have these discussions, right? And they're getting massive traction now,
yeah.
And retweeted like we started the show off, right? And it shows.
Oh, I don't know.
Bigger audience. And things that we said on this show 2 years ago are proving to be right because we were going against the official narrative. And John, even when it comes to this topic of Epstein Island and all that, and I turned around and said, they will take ownership. They will tell the world they're investigating it. Everyone will be, oh, brilliant. Trump draining the swamp and all that. But nothing will happen. Nothing.
I agree.
They will do what they've always done.
I actually think we're in a weird 5-year cycle, right? It was about 5 years ago where everyone was paying attention again to this sort of stuff. And we're back here again. And it's just nuts.
It's how it has always worked. It's always worked. It's never been any different. It's how the intelligence services work, the police, they all work the same. And there'll be deals going on that we'll never know about. People giving information, you know, and all that sort of stuff. It's always been the way, always been the same. It will never, ever change any different. But at least people now are wise to it. People aren't as trusting of the government as they once were. Years ago, you know, the BBC, they called them auntie. That was the thing. And it was like it was a familial name that you could trust. You could trust the BBC. And now it's just synonymous with covering up.
It's wild, isn't it?
Files. And people don't even want to pay the license fee. And you know, they must be getting almost sod all revenue now because they've been shown up. They've been exposed. Yeah. And all they had to do was play the game, and they couldn't even do that. You know, and it's the same with a lot of them. They won't meet anyone halfway. They want it all their own way. Well, they can't have it their own way because that's the public. And we're now saying no, we're not listening to your lies anymore. You start giving us what we want, and we want justice. You know.
Well, John, we've got a little bit of time left, and I thought we always hear some of John's stories, but did I ever tell you about the time, John? Right, in one of my investigations where I discovered that on P-Hub, you know, the place, right, that there was individuals making content on there with child-sized SEX dolls that were being ordered in from China, right? And legitimately acting out scenes where horrible things. But, of course, because it's a plastic doll, there's like a loophole, okay? So I done an expose video on P-Hub and exposed this whole subgenre, and they ended up removing 500,000 videos. And the irony is, when I uploaded my video exposing P-Hub to P-Hub, my content on there was in violation of their terms of service. Ironic, right?
Unbelievable, isn't it?
But it's just to show people, though, that was just one guy on a rant, you know, and that was a massive change. I mean, they didn't announce anything, but it all disappeared fairly swiftly. And it's little wins like that, John, that have got to keep us going. It's little tiny.
Yeah, and it always has been. It's the little victories that we hang on to. And it is. They're little bits of success that do. You're right. I'm totally with you. They're these little reassuring pats on the back. Keep going, you know. And it might be, for me, it might be someone on the street coming up to me and saying, well done. I was one of those kids in the home. Keep speaking up for us. And you're like, I won't listen to the trolls. I won't listen to this. I'll just keep going. And so you do. It makes a world of difference. But yeah, the whole world is just, years ago, they had a woman called Mary Whitehouse, and she was sort of like a campaigner for decency. And she was just seen as just eccentric, conservative killjoy. But she was warning society, look, we can't have this filth. It's going to ruin society. And she was right. She was right. But she got demonized and she got ridiculed.
Wait, what are you talking about? You're talking about adult content destroying the world.
Yeah, it was just the real start of the decline down into sort of the pee industry, you know. Well, and because it was leaching out into, the 4-3-4 channels we had at the time. And she was just saying, look, we've got to be careful here. There should be a line, and we shouldn't be like polluting society and keeping the innocence of our youth and all that. She just had old school matriarchal morals that she wanted.
I get that. But it's 2025. And I'll be honest, I think it's way healthier to be able to discuss your sort of quirkiness in that world without feeling like you need to repress it, as long as it's not some pure mad thing involving kids, right? Do you know what I'm saying? But a lot of people suppress a lot of things. And
I just think that years ago, the only access that the juveniles had to,
it's got nothing to do with juveniles. That's like saying if you own a gun, it's society's fault if your kids get hold of it. I'm sorry, parents. We're past the stage where you can blame the internet and having your kids having access. Google how to keep your kids safe. I've been talking about it for a decade. I've been
okay.
And lock it out.
That's
it's easy.
Okay if you've got reasonable and decent parents. Unfortunately, there's so much of society that hasn't got that. You've got kids bringing up kids, and you've got such a broken society now, and their heads are being filled up with tremendous amounts of damaging stuff. I mean, for example, you look at TikTok. You can lose a day watching total nonsense on TikTok.
Don't even have it installed. I try and stay away from it.
It's evil. It's shocking.
We generically call it, collectively doom scrolling, John.
It is, yeah. It's dangerous.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And before you know it, you're like, this is wrong. This is so, so wrong. You know, it's like vaping. You know,
yeah, man.
Whose idea was vaping?
Vaping's great. Do you know what isn't great? Right, honking on a vape all day. Okay, this is the problem, John. Right, when you open a pack of cigarettes and you take out a cigarette, you light it. There's a start, a middle, and an end to that cigarette. Right. So, if you're what I like to call a vape honking, right? If you're one of them vape honkers, then yeah, I agree with you, okay? I don't understand why they're all fruity flavors that appeal to children.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? It's aimed at the child market.
But here's the thing. As a smoker for over 30 years, John, do you know how disgusting? No one's buying the tobacco-flavored vapes. There's a reason for that, because it tastes freaking awful, okay?
You might as well smoke, couldn't you, if you're going
to
do that?
Well, yeah, exactly. So if you're for example, I've got a vape. I think I bought it close to 2 weeks ago, John, right? So I'll turn off the camera. I'll have a couple of honks on that. And it stops the house stinking. But I'm not sitting honking on it and honking on it and honking on it. It's just like in the same way someone would use nicotine gum. So I get what you're saying. But kids are always going to get access to stuff, man. Do you know how young it was? I was proper hiding 20 decks of Embassy in the stair behind plant pots when I was a teenager. We're going to get it. It's like, we can't
You are, but what you can't do is normalize it. And you've got to make
Who's it normalizing different. It? Who's normalizing? No one's normalizing it. The kids are normalizing it because they're kids, but no one's advertising. It's not direct advertising to kids, man. I mean,
vaping is clearly aimed at kids. It's like fruity flavors, sweet.
Yeah,
flavors.
But listen. Yeah, but listen. I'm sorry. I like fruity flavors, right? Like, I used to have Dr. Pepper flavored. You're not wrong, right? Let's agree to just be like, we'll never argue this one out because you're right, I'm wrong, you're wrong. It's one of those ones, right? But I'm like, John, I'm all for like radical reassessment of substances, taxation, what people should have access to, what should be criminal, what shouldn't be criminal, because it's 2025, man. There's more important things to be worrying about than what people get up to recreationally at the weekend. You know what I mean? And that's just how I feel. You know, I know you probably feel different where you're just like, no, ban them all. I don't feel that way, bro. You know,
I don't know. We used to have a society that looked out for each other. We saw kids misbehaving, adults would step in and put an end to it. You
get stabbed now, John. You'll get stabbed now, mate.
Yeah, that's So what has gone on between kids actually paying attention to an adult running from the police to the fact that they run towards the police now, kick the windows out of the car, stab people for just giving them a little...
What they need to do is they just need to learn a little bit about music production, start up loads of really terrible like UK grime bands, and just get in the studio or whatever, right? It's boredom, mate. It's absolute freaking boredom, right? It's terrible parenting. It's lack of government everything. It's pushing people further and further out of centralized areas. You know, you've seen what they've done in London. They're just pushing people outwards. And it's kind of like what they do in prison. You know what I'm saying? They put all of the people that are problem causers in one place and they all sort of learn and become worse. Oh, John, wait, John, I had a point the other day that I wanted to ask you. Do you think, right? And it was to do with this case of this little boy who was abused so badly that he had to have his legs amputated as a baby.
Oh.
Right. And the parents that did it to him. Do you think that there's a possibility for a discussion being put on the table to adopt a different format of prison system where we focus on the rehabilitation rather than punishment? We remove the people's freedom. Like, have you seen how Norway do it? This is my sample, right? How Norway do it. And do you think there's a possibility that if we were to reform the prisons in a totally new way, that we would prevent career criminals from forming if we radically reduce the reoffending rate by focusing on the rehabilitation of people and not the punishment of people? People have their freedom taken away. Do we want reoffenders
There needs to be some sort of restorative justice. Otherwise, the whole thing is pointless. But people need to understand what they've done wrong and the impact that they've had on their victim. So when it comes to race offenders, you've got a total different mindset.
Oh, my God.
So there is a percentage of them that cannot ever be reoffended. They're just pure evil. But there are, I think it's something like 90% can be rehabilitated. So
can we just say a big hi to Victoria Haig, who's in the
site. Hi, Vicky. All right. Hope all's well. When it comes to countries where it don't work, I mean, in our country it doesn't work because the recidivism rate is so high.
Well, that's it. Plus, John, right? Are we evolved enough? Because the reason that I'm saying this works is because there was an interview with a father whose child was shot on that Norwegian island when that massacre happened. The guy went out in the boat, right?
Yeah.
And the interviewer said to him, you know, don't you believe in an eye for an eye? And he's like, oh, no, absolutely not. I wouldn't want my son's killer to be unalived. I want him to come back to society and contribute. Like, we are not evolved there yet, John, that if someone shoots one of your kids, you're like, I can't wait until we rehabilitate him and he's a super, super contributing member of society. We've not evolved to that point yet. We are Neanderthals to them. But their reoffending rate is the lowest in the world. Lowest in the world, mate.
Because they look at what the problem is, what's behind it.
Yep.
you know, how far does this go back? And it goes back to childhood trauma. It's been proven it's childhood trauma. So we got to then get
people. John, it's also the fact that they live in houses where they have their own kitchen, living room, bedroom, television, computer. They can go to tennis courts. They can do all these. It's their freedom that's lost, not their humanity.
I get that, but we have to also consider the victims here and the victims' family. You know, that has to be taken into consideration.
Okay, and I'm glad you said that.
And so they have to have a say.
Okay, well, John, let me ask you this. The victims' families, if they're presented with a solution that would produce people after the sentences that were vastly less likely to reoffend compared to what we could be creating as career criminals, are we not then saving more individuals from the fate of the original victims? Because for me, we have to look at what the problem in this country is, John.
London used to be the safest metropolitan city in the world.
Not anymore.
It isn't anymore. It's one of the most dangerous now, and that's happened within my working lifetime.
Yep.
So what have we done
really
to
fast
make it descend so badly down? And I was watching a thing about a country called Rhodesia. It was the safest country on the planet. It had hardly any crime. And then when it all collapsed, it went into one of the most dangerous places to live in the world. So, you know, we create our own chaos sometimes. So there's obviously something that we was doing right back in the 70s and the 80s to make London so safe. And there's obviously something we're doing so appallingly wrong now to make this the murder capital for knife crime in the world.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's radical discussion, John. It's not like 10 minutes towards the end of a podcast chat, because I would love to have a genuine debate about this with you, because we're not ready for the ideas that I'm having or the ideas that Norway have. Could you actually imagine, like, oh, you know, the Southport guy, do you know what I mean? On an island, living in a little house, people aren't ready for evil that level of comfort, I don't think.
Well, why don't the people watch my film Redemption, which is out?
Oh, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that right now. Let's talk about that.
I've taken three of the most dangerous people in the United Kingdom. Three people who the system weren't going to change them. But now they are, you know, incredible what they do to help others and to save lives. One guy, I've estimated he saved thousands of lives of young people. Did the system change them? No. They changed themselves. There's something deep inside them that changed, and it's all explained in the video. So it is doable, and without a doubt, 100% doable.
All right, everybody. Listen, John has spent a lot of time on this, okay? It's a big boy film, okay? So it's renting or buying. It's a proper film, okay? So he spent a lot of time. Look at this guy. Look at him right here. Eh? I, also, as well, you know, John, like the placement of the crosses, like this is all well placed. So go give John your support. It's $2.99. Okay. So if anybody is on a budget, you're not having a Starbucks tomorrow. Okay. You're gonna go and get this film. Okay.
We're not gonna
Ron's not gonna rent it, and then we're all gonna watch it on Discord. We're not gonna do that. We only do that with Hollywood movies. Okay. So we'll wait 6 months and then we'll do it if nobody's seen it. But listen, make sure you go and support John, because it's going to, in fact, you know what, John? I'm going to get this and I'm going to do a review on this. Yeah. Oh, it's got a trailer.
This is part of a series called Redemption, in which we interview people about their...
That is not John Wedger. I just want to point that out right now. That is a different man.
Their lives, their past lives, they're changing their lives and what they're doing now. And today we have Stephen French, back in the day, aka the devil.
Yes.
Kidnapper.
Sound editing is sick. Right. Whoever done all the leveling of the sound, it is absolutely sick.
Yeah, it's like, professionally made.
No. Listen, John. That means nothing. All right. Trust me. I can show you some train wrecks, right? That are actual Hollywood movies, right? But no, this sound is sick.
Torturer. Tax man.
Extortionist.
Oh, that is tension building narrative, John.
I do get attacked by the devil to be honest.
Yeah,
with
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
At different times, I discussed with Michael the Archangel,
yeah.
Defenders in the day, battle, bear safeguard against the wickedness of snares.
What is that? Was that a logo that you had to tape over? What is that little black square?
No, I don't. No, it's a mic.
It's a mic.
Devil.
Yeah.
My God, rebuke him, we humbly pray unto thou, priest of the heavenly host, cast into hell Satan, all evil spirits that wander through this world through ruinous.
You know Ron's not going to be quiet. Ron's going to pause and talk the way, this is what Ron does, okay? I'm sorry, it's an illness.
Souls. And that really lifts me, you understand what I'm saying?
I could say I think every part of my anatomy has suffered some sort of, I mean, I've been shot. Macheted. I had my glue put in the top of my head. It had smashed my head, my leg, every part of me, you know. The only currency was violence. Yeah. As a young man, I was a very, very violent man.
Don't be frightened of believing.
Honestly, everything about Stephen French is serious. Like, yeah. Like his eyebrows and his beard, like everything. It's like you're paying attention.
Violent man.
Don't be frightened of believing. Don't be frightened of being who you really are.
But I just knew that there's something here. There's something going on, and I feel better inside.
Yeah, the sound was great. The track overlay was great. Like
this is really,
all right, underground films, relax. So go and check this out. I'm like, John, before I forget, I'm going to put this in the description, so can you just talk for a minute whilst I make sure that happens?
Yeah, mate? Yeah, of course. You know, like I say, I've put a lot of content out there in the past, and I think a lot of people have been entertained by the stuff I've done, and I've done it all for free. All I ask is that you buy or rent this film, put a little bit back, and it's pennies. It really is. It's a price of a bag of chips, and it's an incredible documentary about the flip in three people's lives, three people that have come from extreme violence, horrific encounters with violence, and they give you know, examples of all of it, and the change in their lives, yeah. which on at least two of the three has been really, really dramatic. And I mean, one guy there is sort of like an icon, really. I mean, Chris Lambriano, anyone who's sort of into their organized crime stuff, he's like a living relic of the old swinging 60s and organized criminality. Nice. They've made a film about him. There's a film called Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, and that basically is about Chris Lambriano.
I tell you what, love that movie. Now, yes,
based on Chris.
John, we are going to be moving forward with some content, expanding on your content we're doing together. We're going to be putting to your official podcast together. You're going to see a lot more sort of live streams with John, content coming out. It's going to be good times. So just stay tuned. John and I have got our morning meetings ironed out now. So that should be coming fairly soon. Now, sadly, we started a little bit late, so we've got to finish a little bit early, John, because I need to go and make some phone calls to my wonderful partner. So
yeah, no problem.
Next week, depending on if there's anything else that's trending, I'm going to bring one of my old investigations to the table. And I also want to go into Uber. I've not forgotten about you. Come back in. You've got this 5 minutes of Uber time that's coming. You got some questions to ask. Don't worry. Just come back in. Uber's been waiting patiently to ask some questions. I don't want to just leave without him getting a chance. You might not have heard me. I think he's coming back now. So there he is. Good lad. Yeah, just give me 1 minute, Uber. So we'll see what's happening next week, John. But I think we should get a couple of episodes planned out where we're going back to the roots. And that, what the hell was the name of that guy that I sent you the link to? Mick something, right? The guy that had...
Mick Philpott.
We're going to, not next week, maybe the week after, depending on how our trend and stuff is, And we're going to do a deep web episode as well. But milk fill, when you see the Mick Philpot episode go up, that's just going to be going, we'll maybe do like a whole month where we go back to the grassroots, John, and blast out some of our...
Mick Tosspot for what he did.
He's a mass murderer. Unbelievable. Okay. Yeah. In fact, do you know what, John?
He's a really good example of a real narcissist. You know, the fact
I think what we'll do when we'll start with Mick Philpot, but let's do a whole series of Crocodile Tears, yes, where the culprits have ended up on the news crying.
And remember this: if they're crying, they're lying.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Uber, are you there?
I'm here, bud.
You're live with John. John, you've spoken to Uber before. Always a big fan of yours. You want to throw some questions at us, Uber? I apologize for keeping you waiting, mate.
That's all right, dude. Hello, John. I am.
Hi, mate.
It's a long question, so it might take a bit of while.
That's right.
But listen, I'm an ex-con myself, all right? And I was in Norwich Prison in 22. Now, the issue is, all right, number one, all these wrong-uns that do get the PDF files and that do get sentences, number one, they get pathetic little sentences. You know this yourself. Nine times out of ten, they'll get an arsey little sentence. Number two, they get the DCAT in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Number three, they always get the best, cleanest cells. When I was in Norwich, they were building pods, all right? The pods that you normally see in a CCAT, where you're waiting for your open, your DCAT. Now, we all knew, every con in that jail knew that the wrong-uns was going to get them. But the screws kept telling us, nah, it'll be like super enhanced, blah, blah, blah. What happens? They give them brand spanking new pods with showers in the place and cookers and everything to all the wrong-uns, all the bad eggs, all the PDF files. So, number one, my first question is, rehabilitation, as you know, comes from within. I had to rehabilitate myself. Nobody did it for me. I had to figure out I was autistic by myself because I got into neurology. Now I'm doing my statement analysis. I'm a behavior analyst. But I had to do it all myself, and it has to come within. You have to want to rehabilitate. But all these ideas about getting rid of all the corruption and that, we've got to fight on more than one corner, from one direction. We've got to stop all the wrong ones from getting the khaki sentences. We've got to stop the corruption, and we've got to stop the PDF files. So how do we do it, and where do we start?
Well, I'll tell you where we start. What we've got to do is the Home Secretary has to look at the sentencing guidelines, and bear in mind, this is politically influential. So left-wing governments are more inclined to be lenient on PDF files than right-wing ones. So that comes from the Attorney General's guidelines set down by the Home Secretary. We've got to have a society that puts criminality against offending against children as a number one priority. It needs to be a number one policing priority. So I'll give you an example. The London Borough of Westminster in the beginning of the 1990s, the neighbourhood area of Belgravia had a policing priority of cycling on the pavement. So police were told that would be their priority, would become hard down on anyone cycling on the pavement. Not the fact is that on that ground, they had Dolphin Square, and at the same time, when kids were being delivered in the early hours of the morning to that parliamentary residence for the purpose of being abused, and that came out in the books of Anthony Daly and another book written by a former MP, Simon Danchuk, that was going on. The police were deliberately suppressing any police activity to hinder that criminality. But it was hard on those cycling on the pavement. So we've got to stop these jokes that, like the, you know, these senior officers for these areas that bring in this horrendously liberal, left-wing leaning, ridiculous policing. So it's got to start there as well. The guidelines need to be a lot harsher. And that there has to be a lot more focus on victims. What do the victims want, and the impact that this has on society in general, not just for that day, but for the next three generations, because that's the damage one of these people will do. And bring in restorative justice as well, you know, and maybe start looking at the fact that if they've caused this amount of pain and there is a need for criminal compensation, well, why don't they start taking it out of the assets of the offender? So if a PDF file has got land and has got housing, And a victim that suffered and is entitled to, say, £250,000, would take it out of their assets and pay the victim. You know, and start doing something. Like start being victim focused and start giving victims a sense of justice, and they don't. And you're right. There's a really good book called Living with a Beast, and there's an ex-criminal who's now a good candidate for the film Redemption. Actually, he's a born again Christian, doing a lot of good for to steer criminals away from crimes. A guy called Terry Ellis. Terry Ellis did one of the biggest robberies ever. It was something like 100 million quid of computer chips or something. But in order to, he was at Grendon, where they've got the project running for rehabilitation. And
got to push you guys. I'm sorry. I'm running out of time, guys. I'm so sorry.
But he was just saying exactly what you said with that Uber. The fact is that he had to spend time with these people, and it was appalling the benefits they were getting compared to other prisoners of the same category.
Yeah.
Okay, apologies, Uber, that I've maybe cut your time off there.
It's cool, man. Cheers, John.
I've got appreciate some phone calls to make, everybody. I'm planning on going live again, probably at 11 o'clock tonight. I'll keep you all posted on Discord. John, you're a legend as always, mate. Thank you so, so much. And I'll speak to you in the morning for our first meeting. Yeah. And love you guys in the side chat. Make sure you like and subscribe. Make sure you subscribe to Project Rook. And I'll see you all in the next one. Peace.